present the News Quiz with your host, Clive Anderson.
Yes, hello and welcome to the News Quiz. I'm afraid Sandy Togsvig has gone down with flu. One too many Bernard Matthews jokes finally got her. We wish her well as she's driven across the country to be culled. But we start with a cutting read by Corey Caulfield.
The average office desktop harbors 400 times more bacteria than the average office toilet seat, according to new US research. And women's work areas are much more germ-ridden than men's, thanks in part to their habit of stashing snacks in their drawers.
Yes, our thanks to everyone who sent that in. And now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. Opposite them on my left, Alan Coroner and Jeremy Hardy. So, Andy, whose withdrawal method has got him into trouble?
It's about the withdrawal from Iraq, but it's not actually withdrawal, is it? It's called a drawdown, which sounds a bit like a bad 1970s quiz show hosted by Nicholas Parsons to me. But it's a drawdown. I think we're bringing home 3,000 troops, but unfortunately we're sending out another 5,000 to guard Prince Harry. So
it's a redeployment to somewhere more dangerous, like Aldershot on a Saturday night.
I don't think Harry's in the front line, though, is he? He's going to be somewhere in Dubai in a 7-star hotel. Ordering his troops around.
I think he does.
On room service.
He wants to be in the front line, though, doesn't he? Which is a sort of classic dilemma. I think in almost every war we've fought, there's been a young prince who's wanted to go out and fight, and normally the government find a cushy sort of backwater for them. But
he's very gung ho about it. I mean, he's been dreaming of this. Harry, don't mind. Cry God for Harry. It's the wall of English dead that bothered me slightly. If they're going to follow him, it's got men who'll follow him anywhere, if only out of curiosity.
Prince Harry himself, I heard just yesterday morning, saying he didn't want to be sailing his arse back home while his men were fighting in Iraq.
Sailing
his arse back home.
Single-handed.
Quote.
Yeah. Get him in the record books, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah. But he wants to be over there. He's very popular because he's known to his colleagues as Troop Commander Wales, though his former title is, of course, Oberfuhrer Saxe Coburg Gotha.
If it weren't for the army, like all jobless youths, he'd just spend his days wandering around huge estates with a gun, wouldn't he?
You've got to the answer on what was going to be a bonus question. You're quite right. This week, Tony Blair announced that 1,600 troops are being brought home from Iraq. Blair has been heavily criticised for making a terrible mess of the country and then saying, right, I'm off. And the situation in Iraq is pretty bad, too. They're told MPs the UK military presence will continue into 2008 or until the invasion of Iran, whichever is the soonest. Anyway, 2 points there to Andy. Fred, why is Brown blue this week?
Gordon Brown, trailing in the polls. Cameron is way ahead in the polls and is cock-a-hoop and is celebrating the fact by putting his daughter down for a faith school.
Yes.
So he's pretty sure he's going to be exactly where he is in a few months' time.
Well, still in Notting Hill, you see, rather than in Downing Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because Casey put it down for a school in Downing Street. That would look very cocky, wouldn't it?
Downing Street Primary.
Yeah. It's very hard to think of Church of England as a faith school, isn't it? I mean, two verses of to be a pilgrim, and then it's out in the playground. They're not falling to their knees 5 times a day to say the Lord's Prayer.
It's a vague belief in things in general school, yes. Yeah. Well, you've gone chasing off onto the Cameron faith school story, but it's more to do with Gordon Brown.
Only about 12 points behind, or seasonally adjusted, it's 10.
Yeah.
But, Fred, you're rather skirting around what's being said, aren't you? Why do people think he's lagging behind? Why do people think that it might be a problem him getting elected? What quality is it that he has that people feel is holding him back?
Is it, Andy?
Yes.
That he maybe only represents 10% of the population?
I think he's been quite warm there.
Or 2.5% of the audience?
Andy, do you do this anti-Scottish stuff when you're up in Sauchiehall Street in Glasgow?
I'm not anti-Scottish, I'm just, you just have to face the realities, yeah. When they do those little focus groups or whatever it is, people bring up the Scottish.
It's so impressive.
Yes.
Clive. Can you name any other street in Scotland except Sochi Hall Street?
Well, yes, I can. I go to Scotland a lot, actually.
Sorry. That's what an Englishman always says, Sochi Hall Street on a Saturday night.
Yes.
Always.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'll mention Union Street next time, which is one in every city in Scotland for some reason, even though the Union is not so popular anymore. Hey, Fred. Anyway, all right, got the answer. I don't want to dwell on the Scottish news. There's a report this week that Scotsmen die quicker of alcohol than anywhere else in the country. Twice the rate of dying. So we're lucky to have you still here, Fred.
It could be my farewell performance. But yes. No, there are areas of Glasgow where the average male life expectancy a year ago was 61. And in the subsequent 12 months, it has gone up to 63. So it's gone up by 2 years in one, which has baffled them completely. And that statistic was released in Scotland the same week that Tony Blair announced that pensionable age might have to go up to 68. So you can imagine the concern in Shettleston and Glasgow. You hear that, Jimmy? We're to be dead 5 years before we get a penny off the bank. Well,
certainly causing a lot of concern in Argyle Square, Oban. But the story was really about a new voting intentions poll placed Prime Minister-in-waiting Gordon Brown way behind David Cameron, who's taken the Conservatives to a new 15-year high. That might be just something he smokes. Okay, so we now go on to Jeremy, whose medical history may soon need regular servicing.
This is doctors who are going to face 5 yearly tests, which you think, I mean, you think their livers would need checking out every 3 or 4 months. So 5 years is quite a long time. All this review has been prompted by the Harold Shipman case, which is a bit harsh because he was quite an extreme case, Harold Shipman, being not only a family doctor but an active member of his local Conservative Association, which tells you all you need to know about his attitude to patient care.
Can I just say, Jeremy, welcome to the programme with your full head of hair, because the rest of us look like a Britney Spears tribute band. So.
But yes, they're going to do these, well, they're calling them MOTs on the grounds that an MOT stands for Ministry of Transport, and it happens every year, and it's done by a car mechanic. So it's exactly like testing a doctor every 5 years. But I don't know what they're testing them for. I know there's a thing that they're paying too much for their drugs. They should come down to Brixton, honestly.
Oh, that was a supplementary question.
Was it?
I'll give you another point for that.
That's a story that was in as well. There's a load of doctor stories. There was one.
Keep talking. We can end up with 30 points. I have a doctor story. The oldest glass eye in the world was found this week. Do you see that? Well, that was worth a point.
How can I put this kindly? I'm not going to give you a bonus point for that in case that's edited out.
Only a supply chairman, Clive. Don't get ideas about the patient. We can have you out of here in tears within a few minutes.
Yes, I think you've picked the bones out of that. And a new proposal was laid before Parliament this week. GPs and consultants will have to undergo an MOT every 5 years to ensure they're fit to practice. Likening a GP to a car is degrading, said one doctor with a spare tyre, a bald patch and a leaky big end. Okay, so you've got your points there. And Alan Corran, this one you've got a musical clue for, Alan.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
Okay. Now, Frank Sinatra, what a spokesman for marriage he was. 38 wives, most of them other people's. Trouble with romance.
We've got a paper in Scotland called the Daily Record, and there's a column in it called Showbiz Sam, and there was a letter came into Showbiz Sam, you know, please settle a pub argument. Was Frank Sinatra married twice or six times? What a hell of an argument that must have been. No, it was two. No, it wasn't. It was six. Yeah. All right, name them.
Was it divorced, beheaded, disappeared mysteriously, buried in concrete under a freeway?
Meanwhile, back at the quiz, that was a clue to you, Alan. Why is I do now more like to be I don't, Alan? That's the
question. Oh, it was just people aren't getting married. I mean, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We've done.
We've had a 5-hour build-up to a one-word answer. depressing.
That is the nature of modern marriage, the five-hour build-up to disappointment. Yeah. We've done all the foreplay. Here was the answer. What else do you want to know? Supplementary points.
You're happy about this.
It's not that we're not getting divorced, just not getting married.
Yes. It's cutting out the middleman, isn't it? Just going straight to the not getting married.
Well, it's a strange sort of marriage with a middleman in it, Malang. I'm not certain I want to cut him out. And why am I doing this in an attempted grafter and monk for it? Doesn't make it any better.
Oh, I don't know. That was more or less right. Figures from the Office of National Statistics show that UK marriages have fallen at their lowest rate since 1862, partly due to the crackdown on so-called sham marriages, which have actually decreased this year despite record amounts of money being offered by OK Magazine. At the end of that round, Andy and Fred have got 4 points, which sounds like full marks, but Alan and Jeremy have got 5 points, so well done them. And we start round two with some team news from the BBC football website.
Nottingham Forest midfielder Sammy Klingon returns to the side after a one-match ban, and Chris Commons has recovered from a blow to the nose.
Oh, I see. Anyway, thanks to Karen Baldwin of Coventry for spotting that. I think it sounds funnier in Danish. Anyway, who came out of retirement for one last fight and won? That's the question for you, Andy.
The government basically said that they have no responsibility for anything.
Yeah.
It's a new government policy.
Like a great electoral... You've summarised half an hour on the Today programme.
The argument was that people had been deceived into thinking that their occupational pensions were ring-fenced and protected, and in fact, the pension companies were putting them on the 230 at Sedgefield, and there were lots of people in very dire economic circumstances who have either got a very small proportion of the pension they were promised, or in some cases, I think, even none whatsoever, and this gentleman pursued it.
It's about the third court case that's been brought on this issue, and they've all been ruled against the government, but... doesn't seem to make any difference.
It would be nice if the government did something legal just for a laugh, wouldn't it?
A supplementary point on this. Did you see the oldest worker in Britain? He's 100 years old. He had ingrowing toenail. And he was turned down. You heard it. He turned down for NHS work. People won't believe me.
Glass eyes, ingrowing toenail.
100-year-old
BMA News.
This man is still in full-time employment. He's 100 years old. He's got ingrowing toenail. He was turned down for NHS treatment because he was too old. And he's now trying to get the money back from the government. I was only thinking about suing governments, really.
Yeah. If you can produce yet another story in this recording that no one else has heard of, then you'll get your bonus.
I haven't got a pension. But people sort of say, oh, God, you've got to make provision for your old age. But I've done that by resolving that I am going to be a burden to people.
Are you going to carry on doing this programme, being a burden to people on this show?
God, yes. Without people who are way past it, where would Radio 4 be?
How far can an ingrown toenail grow?
If you're 100 years old, it could be in your tonsils before you... You'll be entirely toenail.
When did you first notice it? Well, I was scratching the top of my head.
While we're on the subject of old age, there is a supplementary question here. Where are Asbos, an age-old concern?
Oh, I know that.
Yes.
Eastbourne.
Oh, well done. Bonus points.
Antisocial behaviour oldies.
Yes.
Where over 50% of the Asbos given out in Eastbourne are to old people.
Yeah.
Who are a nuisance.
Is that especially surprising, though, because there are an awful lot of old people in Eastbourne.
Statistically, it would be normal, yeah. I mean, most muggings, most armed robberies, most drive-by shootings are conducted by the over-80s.
In Eastbourne, people over 50 are getting more Asbos than the teenagers. Behaviour deemed unacceptable includes shouting abuse and urinating in bus shelters. But if the buses ran a bit more often, they wouldn't have that problem. And the original story was that four benchers have defeated the government in the High Court, and a judge ruled that ministers were guilty of maladministration over the collapse of final salary pension schemes that affected tens of thousands of people. After the defeat, the government's legal adviser, Lord Goldsmith, was said to be suffering mounting pressure. Well, if you're going to have an affair at his age, it's not... Jeremy, you have a music clue for this question. Why are brats not big enough for their high-heeled boots?
Oh, this is horrible. I don't know how to extract mirth from this. There's, teenage girls are being sexualized. They're being made into sexual beings too early by the pressure to be sexual by the clothing in various high street shops and by dolls like the Bratz dolls.
Bratz dolls.
Quite slutty dolls in the way that Barbie and Cindy never were.
Well, you're right, because the Barbie dolls are always a bit sexy, and they had that sort of Ken doll to go with it, but now these ones, I think, have a sort of Peter Stringfellow doll.
Yeah, it's older,
seedy. I think he's been going on an enormous length of time. I mean, I can remember sisters and all the rest of them having those dolls, and when you laid them flat, they shut their eyes. I think that's a terrible lesson to be preaching to British girls.
We've got some Presbyterian dolls in Scotland. You lay them down, they shut their legs.
Yes, an American report suggested that young girls are being psychologically damaged by inappropriate sexy clothing, toys and magazines, with Bratz dolls amongst the worst offenders. Concern that girls are being forced to grow up far too fast came to light after the Maidstone brownies were ordered into Afghanistan. Alan, now, who wants to put the light ent into Lent?
It's Lent. Oh, Lent's coming up. Lent is here.
It started, yes.
Pancakes and shriving and all that. It's got anything to do with the BBC?
Nothing to do with the BBC. Lent rather than light end, you should be concentrating.
It's not about women's facial hair falling off when they drink tea.
In
the week, yeah. If women drink mint tea,
yes.
It gets rid of unsightly facial hair.
Right.
Whole new cast on our favourite film, yeah. Jeremy, Brief Encounter. I mean, you see Celia Johnson sitting there, having a rock cake and a cuppa, and suddenly Trevor Howard is knee-deep in curlies. Very strange. So it's not about that.
No, that's your third story no one else has heard of, and I promised you a bonus point.
No idea.
The church.
Church, isn't it? They decided Lent, rather than being a period of denial, should be a period of humour. And they Well,
it's true.
I'm only telling you the story.
Hang on. Well, you get a bonus point, Andy, for knowing the story. Yeah. That's,
and surely it's our church, not the church.
We've had one mention of Presbyterian already.
John Moore.
And Britney Spears is an anagram of Presbyterian as well. So that's so. Yes. You shouldn't work it out for the rest of the show. Andy, you carry on. You've got the story that we're looking.
Hang on, I'm doing the Britney Spears thing.
Do you realise Christina Aguilera is an anagram of the Seventh-day Adventist?
Do people still give up things for Lent? Have you given up anything for Lent, Andy?
Why are we supposed to give things up for Lent? I can't remember now.
Because you're supposed to use them all on Shrove Tuesday. You're supposed to make one big pancake with all your whiskey and all your fags and all your porn magazines. Put them all in there in the one go, you see.
I'll do that.
You're quite right. The Church of England has decided that Lent, the 40-day period of abstinence, is too sombre and needs to be reinvented as a season of fun. Well, not having to give up chocolate, booze and fags would be a start. At the end of that round, I see that Andy and Fred have 10 points. Alan Jeremy's still in lead with 12 points. Well done. Before we start round three, here's some advice given to girls studying at Portsmouth High School back in 1894, reprinted in The News.
Women have shown they can do anything, be mayoresses, be magistrates, vote for members of parliament, and could ride bicycles.
Thanks to Mr. Blake of Gosport, who sent that in. Andy, have a listen to this.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. I think you should burn.
I'm having that played in my cremation.
Andy, who believes our prince amongst men is their god on high?
This is the island of Vanuatu.
Yes.
Where they believe... I mean, there are all sorts of religious beliefs in the world. There's the people believe in different gods, Allah, Yahweh. They believe that the one divine being is Prince Philip. And... actually, when you look at it in the Bible, the Lord thy God is an angry God. Well, Prince Philip is pretty irascible. And they have these lovely little photos of him, which are like shrines, and they're desperate for him to visit them. I don't think he's ever been there in person.
Well, they've just discovered when his birthday is, the 10th of June, so a good idea for him to go out there on that birthday and be venerated as a god.
Have they been writing to him and asking if he'll come and visit?
Yeah.
And he's just kept saying no. And now they said, well, look, actually, we think you're a god. That's really the last throw of the dice, isn't it? He's not coming. What can we do to get him here?
Yeah.
Tell him he's a god.
Yeah. It worked for me, I'd go.
You've got the point there. It's the South Pacific island of Vanuatu, and they worship Prince Philip as their god, and they're hoping he'll be visiting for the very first time on learning that his birthday falls on June the 10th. They came to the conclusion that Prince was their god after mixing Christian beliefs with the respect accorded to him what was then a British colony. Though apparently they don't believe Prince Andrew is the son of God. They're not that stupid. All right, Fred, here's your question. What's bringing a lump to the throat in the land of the rising sun?
It's karaoke polyps.
That's it.
Gwyneth Paltrow's next child's name. Yeah, it's a condition in Japan where there's millions of people spend their time in smoky clubs singing songs. It makes your voice deep and low, and it hardens into a polyp. I don't think there's a cure other than an operation.
They're mad on singing, the Japanese, aren't they? Because they used to do that thing, I don't know if they still do it, of standing on the street corner and singing the company song. Do you remember they used to go and...
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, you do remember, Fred, you do.
You and I were in Japan.
The company song, Sonny, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Sonny, that sort of thing. All right, no, well, anyway, Japanese doctors have reported a surge in a condition known as karaoke polyp, as Fred mentioned. This is caused by amateur singers putting too much strain on their vocal cords. It's been blamed on the increase in popular songs with high notes. So take my advice and avoid anything to do with the Bee Gees. Polyps aren't the only condition associated with karaoke. There's karaoke sphincter, a tightening which occurs when anyone sober is asked to sing.
You almost skipped over that thing about the Bee Gees. Do you not remember? They walked out of Clive's show.
I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to see the four of you getting up.
Yeah. Was that a first, Clive?
A first?
For somebody to walk off a chat show.
Oh, does it? But serious people have walked off. Serious, you know, sort of ministers have walked out when they've been. But when they're just being nice to them and saying, tell us what your latest record is.
No, I think you called them tossers, as I recall.
Fred, you're taking that so dreadfully out of context. I'm going to have to just deduct you three marks. It seems unfair, but there it is. Jeremy, why is the lady not for turning unless you have strong lifting equipment?
Oh, God. Most prime ministers don't get a statue until they're dead. But in this case, someone got it who's undead. Lady Thatcher, and let's just say it's long overdue.
It's cast in solid bronze, so it's kind of more cuddly version of the real thing.
Yeah.
As a supporter of Thatcher.
Oh, come on.
I am delighted that there is a bronze statue that can't be stabbed in the back by her fellow ministers. I like, and the audience doesn't like her. They wouldn't be here today if it were.
Well, what happened to the first statue they tried putting up in or around Parliament of Thatcher?
They removed her head.
And in the paper it said, a vandal did it. A vandal? No, an art critic, a public-spirited citizen.
Who did you ever support?
Huh? Who did I support?
I mean, in a long time.
Well, I've got a 16-year-old daughter.
Do you like her? Oh, you have been listening to any questions from a scout out in Honiton.
No, this is taking off. This is excellent. 30 years you've been sitting there, Alan. And you've
I've always supported her. I thought she was a great woman. There we are.
Shock on the news quiz. I am disgusted of Tunbridge Wells. I've been complaining for 50 years about the anti-Thatcher bias of the BBC. You've just destroyed my reason for living. The news quiz has come out in favour of Margaret Thatcher. Anyway, a bronze statue of Baroness Thatcher was unveiled at the House of Parliament, the first time such an honour has been bestowed on a living ex-Prime Minister. The sculptor, Anthony Dufour, has managed to capture every last detail of the Iron Lady. It's a good likeness, though you have to look quite closely under her heel to spot Arthur Scargill's testicles. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy?
Well, for this cutting, I'm indebted to myself. Because I found it in yesterday's Evening Standard, or the day before yesterday's Evening Standard, if you're listening to the Saturday repeat. Or last Thursday, if you're listening to Listen Again.
Repeat if you don't get on with it. So.
Or in 2007, if you're listening on Radio 7 in 8 years' time.
And that'll be that London Evening Standard if you're listening outside the M25.
Oh, nobody lives there, Clive. What's the matter with you? Okay, this is a quote from the Evening Standard. Gary Neville's call for the removal of agents from football has infuriated experienced middleman Barry Silkman. Asked on BBC Five Live for his views on the United skipper, Silkman replied, in three words, he is an idiot.
Okay, Fred.
This is from Jeff Hines. A snorkeler underwent 8 hours of surgery after having been shot by William Roderick, aged 60, who mistook him for a large rodent. Mr. Roderick has been charged with assault and being armed with a firearm. He was further charged with possession of methamphetamine and marijuana.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by David Casey of West Molesley in Surrey. It says, Christopher Dean, one half of the legendary figure skating duo Torvill and Dean, was a guest on BBC Radio 2's Midweek with Libby Purvis yesterday. Referring to the couple getting back together for a tour, Purvis asked, so what about the rekindling of this magical relationship? Is the sparkle still there? Christopher answered, well, it's just like getting back on an old bike.
Alan, my newsagent spotted this in A-List magazine. I don't know what A-List magazine is, but it says the 3-year romance of Hugh Grant and Jemima Khan has, as we predicted, finally broken up. There was always going to be trouble in the limelight for these high profilers. Hugh had, of course, been the longtime partner of megastar Liz Hurley, while billionaire's daughter Jemima was formerly married to the Pakistan cricket captain Genghis Khan.
very good. Now, when I've been a contestant on this programme, I've never understood the scores, and although I've been giving out the scores tonight, I don't understand them even now, because Alan and Jeremy have got 14 points, but this week's winners are Andy and Fred with 15 points. But before we leave you, here's a notice from Northern Ireland, spotted by Ron Stimpson.
The founder of the famous Morelli ice cream brand in Port Stewart, Angelo Morelli, has died. He was 99.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Fred McCauley, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Corrin. In the chair was Clive Anderson, and the news was read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chair script was written by Lucy Clark, Roger Crooks and Simon Littlefield, with additional material by Danielle Ward. The producer was Ed Morris.